What is the great theme of the book of Exodus? The answer is, it's all about redemption. That's what I said in the first sermon on this wonderful book. Exodus is about how God's chosen people became slaves in Egypt, and how then they were set free. And we learn the price of redemption. And the price of redemption was the blood of an innocent lamb. The story of Exodus is repeated in every person who is saved from their sins, because we are all born in bondage to sin. None of us, by any action, can set ourselves free from that bondage. And the question we must ask is, how can then I be redeemed? And Exodus gives us the answer. We're set free by the shedding of innocent blood, the blood of a perfect lamb. And that lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember what John the Baptist said when he first saw Jesus? He said this, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And this means that Exodus is intensely relevant to all of us. Like all of the Bible, it shows us how we can be saved from our sins. Now, so far we've looked at the first six chapters, and this is concentrated on the need for redemption. We have seen how the Israelites were trapped, unable to set themselves free. Now from chapter 7 to chapter 11 is the second section. And we see here the might of the Redeemer. We learn about the great power needed to deliver the children of Israel from the great power of Pharaoh. And all this points to the great power that is needed to deliver us from the power of Satan, the power of sin, and the power of death. And in this section, there's a marked change in Moses. He goes from being timid, hesitant, and discouraged. He is now bold, certain, and determined. God's people will be set free. And he needs to be bold, certain, and determined, because against him is an enemy who is also bold, determined, and certain, and that is Pharaoh. Now this morning, I want us to concentrate on Pharaoh, because we're told something about Pharaoh that has perplexed Christians. It is about Pharaoh's heart. In our chapter, we read about God hardening his heart, and Pharaoh's heart growing hard. And from this chapter through to chapter 10, the subject of Pharaoh's heart is actually mentioned 9 times. Now, something that's mentioned 9 times must be important, and it is. God sometimes hardens hearts, and humans sometimes harden their own heart. And my friends, it's not just important for us to understand this great battle we're going to look at between Moses and Pharaoh. It is important because you too have a heart. You do. And that heart can become hardened. And if there's one thing I do not want to happen to you, it is that your heart becomes hard. It's the worst thing that can ever happen to you. So the title of this sermon is Beware of Having a Hard Heart. And it's going to have 4 points. First, we're going to see that God can harden your heart. Secondly, we're going to see that you can harden your heart. And then we're going to ask 2 questions. How can you harden your heart? And fourthly, how can you avoid hardening your heart? So first of all, here's the first truth we have in our passage, particularly in Exodus chapter 7. God can harden your heart. Now this sounds shocking, but it's clearly taught in the Bible. Look at Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. So the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of this land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." Then turn over to Exodus chapter 9 and verse 12. We read this, Exodus 9 verse 12. "But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed him, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses." And you could turn over to Exodus chapter 10 verse 20, and it says the same thing. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. This is a truth. God can harden a heart. And what is its consequence? Well, for Pharaoh, it meant that he obstinately refused to listen to God's word. He refused to let God's people go. And as a result, there was complete disaster for Egypt. They suffered not one or two, but 10 terrible plagues. And then there was the death of all the firstborn. There was the destruction of the army. But here is the truth. God can harden someone's heart. And it's not just Pharaoh's heart that God has hardened. Here is another example. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 2. It's on page 160. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 30, on page 160. This is after the children of Israel have been set free in the wilderness. "But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through, for the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into your hand as it is this day." God can harden a heart. Now some say that this cannot be right, because it would make God the author of sin. They say if God hardened Pharaoh's heart, then he's no longer responsible for his actions. But that is just applying worldly thinking to the clear teaching of the Bible. The Bible also clearly teaches that every human being is always responsible for his actions. We can never say, "God made me sin." God never makes us sin. We choose to sin. Now some say it means that God permitted Pharaoh to make his own heart hard. Now it is true that Pharaoh also hardened his own heart, and we'll consider that in a moment. But it doesn't take away the fact that it says here at the beginning that God will harden Pharaoh's heart, and that twice God hardened Pharaoh's heart. So we must believe, because the Bible says this, that God can harden a heart. Now why did God choose to harden Pharaoh's heart? There are two answers in our passage. God's word usually gives us the answers. The first answer is that God hardened Pharaoh's heart to display his power. If you just turn through to Exodus chapter 9, this is in the middle of the 10 plagues. And verse 16, God says to Pharaoh just before the seventh plague this. Exodus 9, verse 16. "But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be exalted in all the earth." It was God's will to harden Pharaoh's heart. It was part of God's plan that Pharaoh would be so stubborn. And this is exactly what happened. And as a result, of Pharaoh having a hard heart, God's power and glory was displayed in these 10 great miracles and in the deliverance of the Hebrews. Now, this is a difficult subject for us to grasp, but we must say this is what the Bible says. And it's also taught in Romans chapter 9. You might want to turn to Romans chapter 9 in the New Testament. It's on page 1006. Now, in Romans 9, Paul is explaining the difficult doctrine of election. And having spoken about how God chose to bless Jacob over Esau, even though Jacob was the youngest, and even though God chose to bless Jacob over Esau before either of them had done any good or evil, God answers a question that might be in people's minds, and it's in Romans 9, verse 14 to 16. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Now, God gives an example of this. And the example he uses is the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Look at Romans 9, verses 17 to 18. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared to all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. God, in his sovereign purpose, can harden a person's heart. He does this for his own glory and a sign of his great power. And this, my friend, should bring us down to the dust. It should remind us that God is God. And God is able to do whatever he wishes. And before you start to fight against this teaching, look at what the warning Paul then gives in Romans 9, verses 19 to 21. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me thus? Does not the potter have the power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honour and another for dishonour? God is sovereign. He is the potter. We are the clay. We may not understand, but we must not question God's will, because we know that everything that God does, absolutely everything, is perfect, is just, and is right, and is good. And if we don't understand it, it's simply because we're not God. But my friends, there is a second reason, a second answer to the passage, answer to the question as to why God chose to harden Pharaoh's heart. And the answer is this: God chose to harden Pharaoh's heart because Pharaoh already had a heart that was against God. Now just think about the background we've learned about over the last few weeks. Pharaoh had made God's people slaves for no reason at all. Pharaoh had ordered the execution of all baby boys. When Moses first asked him to let the people go, look how he replied back in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2. Exodus 5 verse 2. Look at the contempt Pharaoh had for God. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. No, you don't. Nor will I let Israel go. Yes, you will. And then what did Pharaoh do? He increased their suffering. He made them gather straw as well as bricks. So what are we told about Pharaoh right at the beginning? That his heart was already against God. He was already anti-God. God chose to harden a heart in one sense that was already hard. And my friends, this is how we must understand this great teaching, solemn teaching, that God hardens, can harden a heart. God is gracious and kind. Everything God does is fair and right. So we can be sure that God will never harden a softened heart. He will never harden the one who is seeking after God. No, he says, come to me. He says, come to me and I will receive you and forgive you. He only hardens the hearts, I believe, of those who already are set against God. He only hardens the heart of one who has turned their back on God like Pharaoh. And then God chooses to harden their heart. But this brings me to a second point. You can harden your heart. Yes, you can. Pharaoh did. Twice we're specifically told that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Look at Exodus chapter 8, verse 15. This is after the plague of frogs, and God removed the plague of frogs. And then we read in verse 15, but when Pharaoh saw there was relief, the plague of frogs had gone, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. And then turn over to Exodus chapter 9, verse 34. This is after the seventh plague, the plague of hail. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart and said to his servants, he and his servants, so the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord has spoken to Moses. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He was obstinate. And this is not the only example we have in the Bible. Turn to 2 Chronicles. I think that's 4 Kings, isn't it, in the Russian Bible? 2 Chronicles chapter 36. It's on page 417. And here we learn about a young man. He's only 21 years old. Young people, you can harden your heart when you're young. Let's read what happened in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 11. Zedekiah, 2 Chronicles 36, verse 11. I can still hear the rustling of the pages, so I'm just waiting. 2 Chronicles 36, 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against God, against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear an oath by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart against turning to the Lord God of Israel. He was obstinate. He hardened his own heart. But the greatest occasion, the most significant occasion when people harden their heart, is when almost the whole nation of Israel hardened their hearts in the wilderness after they'd been set free by God from Egypt. Turn back to Psalm 95 that we read at the beginning of the service. Psalm 95, page 532. It's page 532. Psalm 95. And here is a warning from God. Psalm Verse 8. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. You can harden your heart. You might say, well, this is only applying in the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? There's a warning in the New Testament as well. There's a warning against hardening your heart. And you might be surprised about who it's addressed to. It's in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 on page 1063. Listen to this solemn verse from the Word of God. Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13. Page 1063. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, who is the writer speaking to? Is he speaking to the world? No. It says, beware, brethren. Beware, believers. The author is addressing Christians. Beware of hardening your heart. You who say you're a Christian, you who say Jesus died for you, beware of hardening your heart, because it can happen to you. And why is it so serious? Look at the consequences if we harden our heart from Hebrews 3, verse 12. It means we depart from the living God. We walk away from following Christ. We become an apostate. As a result, we're lost back in the world, back heading for hell when we die. Now, my friends, how does it start? How do we start to harden our heart? Well, again, we can learn from the time when the greatest number of people hardened their heart. When the Israelites were in the wilderness. When they'd been set free. What did Psalm 95 say? Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Now, how did their hardening start? It started with a tiny, small, in what we might say was insignificant sin. Do you know what they did? They complained. That's how it started. Just a few weeks after being set free from slavery, the Israelites complained to Moses in the wilderness, wishing they'd died in Egypt, where at least there was enough food. Look at Exodus chapter 16. We'll come to this in a few weeks, or sometime next year. Exodus chapter 16. Let me just read verses 1 and 3. This is where it began, my friend. It's really important. Page 65. So they're in the wilderness. They've been set free. As they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt, just 45 days later. And the whole congregation of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Soon afterwards, as the children of Israel then journeyed in the wilderness, they found themselves without water. And what did they do? They complained again. They confronted Moses, demanding water and questioning why they'd been let out of Egypt. That's in Exodus 17. And so it continued. You can read in Numbers 11 how they complained about the manna from heaven. God gave them food and they complained about it. Numbers 14 tells us that they tested and complained in total against the Lord no less than 10 times. And then it all culminated. And when the children of Israel reached the edge of the promised land, and what did they do? They refused to go in. Now the hearts of maybe a million people, million adults, became hard. And at this point, the patience of the Lord came to an end. And the Lord pronounced the judgment we read in Psalm 95. They shall not enter my rest. And all the adults, except for Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness. My friends, how solemn this is. They had experienced the wonderful grace of God. They had seen the miracles of the 10 plagues. They had been guided and cared for by God. They had passed through the Red Sea. God had provided food and water for them. Their clothes never wore out. But their hearts became hard. They stopped believing and were lost. And my friends, the warning of the scriptures from Hebrews 3 is this can happen to you. Your heart may have been softened by God to hear the gospel, respond and follow Jesus, but then something happens and your heart becomes hardened. You harden it and you fall away and you stop believing. This is serious. And this is something that could happen even to me. And I've been a Christian for 50 years. Now, this brings us to the third point, which is a question, a really important one you want to know the answer to. How can you and I harden our heart? Well, turn back to Hebrews 3 and verse 12. The Bible tells us, Hebrews 3 verse 12, page 1063. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. That's it. We begin to harden our heart when an evil heart of unbelief takes hold of your heart. This is what happened to Pharaoh. He had an evil heart of unbelief. Who is this God that I should let the people go? And this is what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness. It started when they began to complain. They didn't believe God would care for them. It led to a desire not to have God ruling over them, but want to go back to the slavery of Egypt. And it finished up with them not believing that God would take them to the promised land. This is the hard heart of unbelief. And unbelief is characterized by disobedience. And my friends, this is a real and present danger to every one of you in this room and me, whether you call yourself a Christian or not. Pharaoh was an unbeliever and he hardened his heart. God's redeemed people had been believers. They'd all taken part in the sacrifice of the lamb. They accepted that, but they hardened their heart against God. Now, where does it start, my friends? Well, it can start before you ever become a Christian, with a refusal to accept that God is God and a refusal to accept his rule over his life. But it also can happen after you become a believer, by you simply beginning to complain, by being unhappy with how God is treating you in your life. And in all cases, it leads us to believing that God, not believing in God and not believing his promises, not believing in his power and his love. Now here you are in the church week by week hearing the word of God. And in that same sense, you're in the same situation as Pharaoh and the children of Israel. Now you have a choice. And here's the choice I set before you. Will you accept what the word of God says about God, says about you, and says about how you can be saved from your sins? Will you accept what the Word of God says about how you should live now if you're a Christian? And how God has planned everything for your good even when bad things happen? Are you willing to accept your lot in life, whatever that may be? Or will you begin to refuse to believe? Will you refuse to believe that Jesus can save you? Or will you refuse to believe that God knows best for your life? In other words, are you going to let unbelief so take over your life that you walk away from God and his love? Because when you begin to do that, you are hardening your heart. God in grace and mercy offers you life, eternal life. He doesn't offer, though, that this world will be perfect and our life will be perfect. But he offers to be with us. And if you reject that, if you walk away from that, then you're hardening your heart. You're on the road to hell. Now that brings us to the final question, the final point. How can you avoid hardening your heart? Surely we want to know this. Well, my friends, what's the opposite of a hard heart? It's a soft heart. It's a tender heart. And in the Word of God, God has given us an example of somebody who had a tender heart. So I want to close by looking at this man. It's another young person, Josiah. He only became king when he was 8 years old. Probably everybody in this room is older than that. But let's read about him. If you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, it's on page 414. Again, I think in the Russian Bible that's 4 Kings. 2 Chronicles 34. And in this passage, we won't read the verse, but in verse 27, God says that Josiah has a tender heart. Isn't that wonderful? Has a soft heart, a pliable heart. Now the background is that Israel once again had fallen into terrible sin, and they were worshipping idols. And the temple had fallen into disrepair and was all closed up. God was forgotten. And then Josiah comes to the throne. He was a true believer. Let's read about him in verses 1 to 2. This young man. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. And this young king, when he was a teenager, ordered that the temple be reopened and restored. And of course, it was in a complete mess, total disrepair. And while they were undertaking this work, in verse 14, we read that they discovered the law, the book of the law of the Lord. This would have been the books of Moses. And it certainly included Deuteronomy. And the king was excited and demanded that they bring out the book. And they said, he said, read it to me. So they read the book of Deuteronomy. Now, if you know the book of Deuteronomy, it ends with the blessings if God's people obey God and the terrible cursings if they disobey God. So just remember that. Now see how Josiah reacted. Because this is going to show us what a tender heart is. Look at verses 19 to 21. Thus it happened, when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah and Akiam, the son of Shaman, Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, the servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in the book. Here is the evidence that Josiah has a tender heart. The evidence is what happened when he heard the word of God read. It caused him to tear his clothes. He saw the wrath of God being poured out on a nation for their great sins. It wasn't his sins, but this so distressed him. The word of God moved him. And here is the evidence that you and I have a tender heart. It is a heart that is sensitive to the word of God. It's a heart that's willing to be moved by the word of God. It's a heart that yields to what the word of God says. It's a heart that then determines to change because of the word of God says. God says this, I must do this. God says, don't do this, I must not do this. Has the mere reading of the word of God ever moved you like it moved Josiah? Has it ever so deeply affected you that it's changed the course of your life? Because this is the evidence of a tender heart. And so this is the way to develop a tender heart and to avoid having a hard heart. Come to the word of God, and when you read it or hear it preached, believe it. Believe this is God speaking to you. Believe and let the word of God guide you. Believe when it says Jesus can save you from your sins. Believe when it says God is in control. Believe it when it says God knows best for your life. Believe it when it says I will take you home. And as you believe, trust. Trust that God knows best. Don't question what he permits to happen to you. Don't become a complainer. The Bible says that all things, good and bad, work together for good for those who love them. That illness you have, that unemployment you're suffering, that bereavement you've gone through that good can come. Believe that, because that's what the Bible says. And don't complain. And when troubles and trials come upon you, and you sense a complaining spirit welling up in your heart, turn back to the word of God and remind yourself that it's God who gives and God who takes away. Remind yourself that everything works for good for those who love him. And instead of complaining, be thankful that God loves you. Be thankful that God sent his son to die for you. Be thankful that the trials of this life are nothing compared with the wonders of heaven, the eternity of the new heavens and new earth. And when times are tough, whatever you do, don't complain. Because that's where a hard heart begins. Remember what you've been saved from. Remember your heavenly hope. And instead, a tender heart is one that is content. My last reading is from the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. It's on page 1044. Paul went through incredible trials and troubles in his life for the Lord. He suffered. He was shipwrecked. He went hungry. He went thirsty. He was beaten. But look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learnt both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Have you learnt how to be content? Have you learnt to trust God and his wise ways for your life? Have you learnt that in Christ he gives you the strength to cope with all trials? Then this, my friends, is the way to stop your heart becoming hard. This is the way to prevent the Lord hardening your heart. This is the way to have a tender heart. Amen.